So of all the books in the Bible, the book of Revelation is probably the most intriguing and the hardest to understand. But folks who are non-Christians will actually read the Bible. But they'll sometimes start at the end, kind of like some people do when they get a magazine or whatever. And what do you or the book or some book, you go to the end, kind of look at the back, and then you move forward. I don't know why that is, but it seems to be a trend. I've actually looked up, tried to find the statistics for that. At one point in time, I actually had a link to it on the internet, and then it went away. I mean, like, I couldn't find it. But the hardest book to read, to understand, to interpret, try to find out what's going on, is the book of Revelation. Now, I think it's likened to people who like to go to amusement parks and ride the huge roller coasters, because it seems like it's an adventure as you go in the book of Revelation. It seems like you're reading through things, and it's fantastic and amazing. And it's like a white knuckle ride in some places. I mean, you have these asteroids or comets coming down, destroying the earth. It looks like demons coming out of a pit, you know, and these angelic beings that are underneath the Euphrates River that are released, of course, they're fallen angelic beings, and then have a huge amount, a host of like an army kind of all of a sudden materialize. And you see these creatures that look like horses and have mouths like lions and have snake-like tails, but they have like cobra or snake, a viper kind of heads on the tails, and some of them are like scorpions. And so, you know, it almost seems like a sci-fi movie when you go through it. Well, the pinnacle of that is Revelation 13. And we started that last week. Revelation 13 started with the beast that comes out of the sea. And maybe you see here is kind of the two phases of Revelation 13. The beast that comes up out of the sea. And then we're going to look at the beast that comes up the earth that looks like a lamb with two horns. And so we see these two beasts. And they're fantastical. I mean, the artist captured this pretty well. I think it's amazing to look at this, to look deeper into the book of Revelation. Why are people intrigued? And I think it has to do with that, where you want to scare yourself, you know, it's kind of like watching horror movies, that kind of thing. And I think we've got to, like, peel back a little bit and look into what God is really trying to speak to us about. So Bible students, as Bible students, another word for disciple, disciple of Jesus. I'm a student of Jesus. In the Old Testament times, they would call them, the group of disciples would be Talmudim, you know, like Talmud, like the old Talmud, which is the teaching for disciples, for students, and I would be a Talmud, Talmudi or Talmuda, and so you'd have the group would be Talmudim, that is, those who follow the Talmud. Well, who is the Talmud? Jesus. You see how that works? So all those were Talmuds of rabbis. And they would quote from each other, right? But Jesus is revealing this to John. Can you imagine? You're seeing all this on the island of Patmos. And I'm wondering if he's thinking, did I drink something today that happened? You know, I mean, something happened, but it is so real. Like you've had a dream or a nightmare, or it seems like it's so real. Well, this is real, but it's symbolic. It's couched in symbolism. And it's like the decoder ring that they would get way back when, right? And you would look through and it's like, well, I have this little strip and I can't see anything on it. But if I put it through it, there's a colored lens on this like decoder ring that lets me see what's in there for the clues. And so that's what the Bible is. It's like a bunch of clues, like a bunch of puzzle pieces, but it's also holographic. Our memory, the way we think, is holographic. They're finding this out. It's multidimensional. So that's the best way to teach, is to teach multidimensional. And the Bible is the only book on the planet that does that. It satisfies all of that, the curiosity, the discovery, you know, how we are. Because if it's just spoon-fed to us, it's not, it doesn't stick. But if we have to work at it, if we have to discover, we have to think it through. And that's why it says, here, use some wisdom in this part. It says, have a mind of wisdom. And so we're going to look into this passage right now. Here's some more pictures. There's the evil false prophet there calling down fire. Then on the other side, you have the beast, the dragon beast, with a lamb. Do you remember we saw that other picture with a lion and a lamb? Lion and a lamb is the reality of the Messiah, right? But there you have the dragon beast with a lamb with two horns. That's the counterfeit. You see, Satan can only counterfeit what is and try to manipulate and corrupt. He can't create out of nothing. So he comes along and corrupts. So his image is the dragon, which is the first part, dragon beast, the beast comes out of the sea. And the other side is what we're going to read today, the one that looks like a lamb, but has two horns, but speaks like a dragon. So Revelation 13, 11 through 18, then I saw another beast come out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. We've already been introduced to the dragon, Satan, that old serpent. So we know he speaks like Satan. His message is satanic. But you probably won't notice it. See, that's how Satan is. He's not outright lying to you. And he exercises, that is this new beast that we're seeing, he exercises all the authority of the first beast. Now, have you ever heard of Charlize Theron? You ever heard of her? Now, why am I bringing this up? It's her last name. Her last name, Theron, is what this is, beast. Beast, wild, beasty, monstrous kind of animal. It's usually not the cattle that you would have. It's the kind of category of animals out there that are wild animals. Okay, does that make sense? So the Greek word is Theron, just like Charlize Theron, the actress. Her last name would be the English way of pronouncing the Greek word, almost a spelling if you put it into Greek. And so, I'm not saying Charlize is a wild animal. I'm just saying it's very interesting that she has that name. And that's what's used here, beast. So every time you see those beasts, where it's talking about that in the book of Revelation, it's their own, which is wild animals. These are wild and tameable animals. But you can tame a tiger or a bear. You can tame certain kinds of animals that are wild, okay? So now we're seeing a very tame animal. Now, in this case, it's a lamb, but think about it. It's like a lamb, but it's a beast. It's a wild animal. See what's going on here? It's kind of like a wolf wearing sheep's clothing. That's kind of what this is saying here. It's amazing. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence. First beast is the Antichrist and his empire. The first beast we saw was the Antichrist and his empire. It isn't just the Antichrist. It isn't just the empire. But it's the Antichrist and his empire. The political system. Okay? Exercises all the authority. That is, kind of like Joseph exercised all the authority of Pharaoh. You see how that works? Now, the Antichrist, or the first beast, really is in control of everything. And the dragon is really the puppeteer behind it all. But it's as if this man can go out and speak for the beast. And he has all the power and authority. Similar to how the Gestapo was under Hitler. And there were other systems like that under Hitler that were like an extension of Hitler. They were in the image of Hitler. Okay? So he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence, causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast. So his power or his authority or what he is tasked to do is to go out and get people to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. Okay? The beast that was healed was the empire, but it reflects upon the leader. Okay? He performs great signs so that he makes even fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. That is, people actually are seeing. It's not on TV. This is, people are really seeing this. And he deceives.
those who dwell on the earth by those signs, which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth, there's that phrase again, those who dwell on the earth, to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. Now we went through that whole scenario last week about the beast, the empire, which empire was slain and came back to life. It was the Ottoman Empire that was slain and came back to life. So in that scenario, talking about not the actual man, but the ideology of that empire. Remember, it was different than all the empires before because it's religious-based. And we looked at that, and we're going to look at it deeper about what that means. So last week we looked at political religio, religio-political system. Last week was political first. Remember I said how Satan will use top-down. He'll invade governments so that he can influence and control the most people because he has limited resources, limited troops. So he uses strategy and organization much more than we'd ever think. He is very strategic and very organized. Well, this one is on the other side, and he starts with religion, and we'll see where he ends up. Religion and something else. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast. Remember, this is symbolic. What does it mean in real life? That the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. Okay? He causes all, both small, great, rich, and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand, which can also be translated right arm, or on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except one has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. Now this is the chapter. People are amazed, and the Antichrist and the mark of the beast and all this stuff, right? Okay. So understand this. It's the false prophet who is doing the dirty work of the political monster who is the Antichrist. You hear? It's not the political monster, the Antichrist, who is giving out the mark of the beast. It is his buddy who is in cahoots with him, who is the one who is trying to control people out there through religion. You see, Satan will use religion and then throw it under the bus later to get in control. That's how we've seen it in the past. So what we're looking for is a system that is political, religious, and economic. And it has had to exist prior because it comes to power with a system that's already existing. It isn't a surprise. Does that make sense? It isn't a surprise. Now, we've seen a candidate for this in prior episodes of this that we've looked through. The best candidate is Islam because it also beheads. It takes captive. Remember last week we talked about take hostages. Those who were led into captivity will be led into captivity. You know, those who killed by the sword will be killed by the sword. Think of ISIS today. They use the sword of Islam, but they use other weapons, of course. They like to ride horses. We're going to see that. And they also behead, and they take into captive with hostages. And now we see that they have a system that is political, religious, and economic. We call that today Sharia law. It is the only system that is codified after Christ died and rose from the dead, that is codified into a religion that is anti-Christ. Antichrist means against Christ and instead of Christ. And we're going to look at the instead of Christ, amazingly, how this system works. Because you see, if you're in this system, according to them, you don't need Christ. You have enough in this system. That's why we sang the songs we sang today. Desperate for Jesus, hungry for Jesus, longing for Jesus. Jesus is my cornerstone, the cornerstone. That which comes up out of the foundation stone on the edge where it comes up to align the building. Remember we talked about that. So we have this that's part of the foundation stone, the bedrock. And it comes up, and there it is, the cornerstone, from which you align the whole building to, and when it fits together, it aligns perfectly. But it's connected, and it's faithful and true to the foundation. We're going to see that they have a counterfeit for this. So let's bring this up to date. The beast that we saw was Abaddon, Apollyon, king over the bottomless pit. He is the king over the locust, scorpion, demons. In Revelation 9, he's introduced. The beast, the person. And then in Revelation 11, he temporarily defeats the two witnesses for 3.5 days. But he will be hailed as the hero. Why is he hailed as the hero? Because those two witnesses are declaring the very destruction that's occurring all over the world in the first half of the tribulation. Those natural disasters and those spiritual natural disasters. Things coming up out of the pit. They're prophesying it and then it happens. They're able to call that fire from heaven. So that's why the false prophet is going to do this. The false prophet is going to mimic them. Here you have two witnesses, the beast and the false prophet. Two witnesses of the devil in the second half. To see how Satan can only mimic, can only counterfeit. And then in chapter 13, verses 1 through 4, we're introduced to the beast empire. Its nature, its heritage, and its character, or its location. So what is the character? Well, it's characterized as a monster, as a beast. It's a wild animal coming up out of the sea. So when it comes up out of the sea, it is coming up out of chaos, coming up out of unpredictability. It's coming out of violence because the sea is tossed. You know, think of the crashing waves. We're not thinking of Lake Atlantica or Lake Pacifica here. We're talking about what the sea usually is stormy. And that's what it's coming out of. It's rising up. All you have to do is look in the Middle East right now. You can see it starting to rise. The sea, the little head, the little kind of horn is almost rising. And it's called ISIS right now. But soon it will become the caliphate. But again, that's the political thing, the political army kind of thing that has a religious philosophy, but it's political, right? We're going to see this other one come out, which we just read, that comes up out of the earth, which is stable. Okay? That means after they have been political for a while, now they're stable. And now this religious thing comes up. We're going to see quotes from Islam that talk about this. Not just the Bible. Now, I'm not saying Islam is something I can rely upon. But I'm telling you, the enemy can read. And he can develop his own religion based upon what the Book of Revelation has. And have his own counterfeit and try to defeat God. Somehow in his mind, he thinks he can do that. So then, in verses 5 through 10 of Revelation 13, we have the person, the actual demon-possessed person, who rules over the empire, the Antichrist. So Satan has to have a human vessel. Satan has to have a physical human vessel through which he can do things on the earth. The spiritual will affect the physical, right? That makes sense? So what we're looking at here is this. We're looking at the little horn that pops out of the beast. Remember the Old Testament? We looked at Daniel chapter 7, and Daniel chapter 8. I was amazed at the little horn. I was amazed at the little horn. And he had pompous words, and he was blaspheming the host of heaven. And he took down some of the stars of heaven. So that's what we're talking about here in Revelation 13, the first part. The first part is the Antichrist. Okay? Who is this? Well, we know he rises from the Middle East because of the kingdoms, or the empires, that are talked about. This is the political side of things. It's a monster. It's a beast. It's horrible. And when we think of what ISIS is doing, we haven't seen anything yet of what it's going to be. You think of what Hitler did. You think of what Mao Zedong did. You think of what Pol Pot did. Think of all these brutal leaders. Now put them all together and add steroids to it and add 100 times that. That's what this guy is going to be like. He's going to be brutal, but he's going to be good to those who are on his side. Daniel 11. 21 and following shows. If you're on his team, he will treat you like a king. He will do something that no other leader before him has ever done. He will redistribute wealth. So it sounds like socialism. It sounds like the man of lawlessness. You ever hear of any political leader of any powerful nation on earth that's called lawless? Well, we're just seeing the hint of it. Okay? But again, this person has to rise from the Middle East, and it's going to narrow down who he is based upon their own writings. So I'm going to show you some websites. Website pictures of the Mahdi. The Mahdi is the Islamic leader that will rise in the last days and will rule for 7 years over the whole earth, rule over the global caliphate of Islam. And you're going to see, these are pictures from those who are longing for, hungering for, desperate for their Mahdi. I'm telling you, that's how it's written. It's as if they're, how we are, longing for our Jesus, the real Jesus. They're longing for their Mahdi. Now look at the artwork, and notice how he's riding a horse. This is one of them, he's riding a white horse. Now this doesn't show the bow with no arrows, it shows a lot with swords. But in some of the cases, he has bows and arrows on his back with swords. And a, he's a warrior. He's a mighty warrior. Who is likened unto the beast? Who can defeat him? You see, that's what they look at. This is from the websites of those who are looking for and preparing for the Mahdi. It is worldwide, this network. Here's another one. Now notice, white horse, red horse. It may be white there, but it's really telling you of red. This is of his victory in slaughter as he comes to power. This is Arabic, you see? This is about the Mahdi. Notice these 666. You will see it all over. The mark, that is a mark. You will see in the stamp of the Mahdi, his name is all over the place, and it has this number repeated. Here's another one. Here's a black horse with the black flags. It's in Arabic. What do? When you see, it says, Al-Mahdi is coming to the people of the earth. I mean, they're looking for this guy coming. Here's another one. It's a green horse. This is the last horse. White, red, black, green. And when you look at this, you have to say, they are looking for this guy. They are prepared for him. You see, the Antichrist, when he rises, he has to coalesce something during the first half of the tribulation. He's probably already doing it now. But the first half is not going to be him ruling and reigning the whole earth. It's coalescing and putting things together because he's a man. And Satan is limited. He has to work through humans. So they are looking for this one man to unite the whole. Now, when it says unite, one man to unite them all, meaning all factions of Islam. So it is focused first on uniting all factions of Islam. So the quotes about the Antichrist from the quotes about the Islamic Mahdi, who will rule for 7 years, are all over the place. Now here's just a few. This man, the Mahdi, is for me. That is, he's quoting Muhammad. Muhammad talked to this guy, and he wrote it down. This is part of the Hadith. The Mahdi is for me, that is, from Muhammad, my progeny, and will have a broad, clear of hair forehead, and a prominent nose, and will fill the earth with fairness and justice, as it was filled with oppression and injustice, and will reign for what? 7 years. They tell you. It's kind of like Mein Kampf. The dictators tell you ahead of time what they're going to do, and then they do it. It's kind of like Audacity of whatever it was that Obama wrote, or any of these guys. They all tell you ahead of time what they're going to do, and then they go do it if they're allowed to. All of them do. Stalin wrote stuff, and then they go do it. You see? So this stuff is written already. Satan is telling us. I mean, this is not from God. This is twisted. But he's drawing from what? What is he drawing from? The Bible. He's twisting it. But there will be a guy that does this. The Hadiths of Islam also speak of a 7-year covenant that the Mahdi will make with Israel. Now, in the Bible, it doesn't specifically say Israel in Daniel 9:27. It says covenant with the many. So evidently, Satan thinks that it's also inclusive with Israel. Because look what it says. The prophet said there will be 4 peace agreements between you and the Romans, meaning the West. That has already happened. Think about the accords that we've had at Camp David. How many times with Arafat, etc., how many times have we had peace accords that relate to Israel? Well, this last one is going to be the last. So the fourth will be mediated through a person who will be from the progeny of Hadrat Aaron, which is Aaron. That means he's going to be a descendant of Levi, maybe a Cohen, and will be upheld for what? 7 years. Think about this. 7 years. So the Islamic Mahdi will make a 7-year covenant, and we see in Daniel 9:27, he's going to, in the middle, he's going to cut it off. So this is already in their codified history and religious-based documents. Do you follow this? This is what's amazing is, you're looking for a candidate of some sort of religious, political, economic system that is codified that is Antichrist, that wants to rule the world with a one-world government and one language. The only candidate is Islam. It has never been anything else. It was predicted. Islam was predicted in the Bible because the hints only fit Islam. Now, before Islam rose, no one knew what it was, right? But when Islam rose, many Christians in the 7th and 8th century looked at Islam, Christians looked at Islam and said, this is Antichrist and Muhammad is the Antichrist. Well, Muhammad isn't the Antichrist, but his descendant will be. Because he says so. He says the Mahdi will be descendant of Muhammad, that means Arabic. He may not be Turkic, unless the person is old. That is, has some descendancy of Arab. So we might look at some of these leaders. He has to be an Arab leader. See, there's another website. He's got laser beams coming out of his eyes. Imam Mahdi. And he's carrying a red flag. You get all the colors there. White, black, red, green. Amazing. And look at the crescent moon. If they follow the moon god, Allah. So, this next mark is the mark. This is the official sign of the Mahdi. So there's your name. Remember? Mark, number, or name. There it is. Now, we don't know who the human person is that's going to fit into these clothing of this. But it's been here for a while. This is not a surprise. It's there. So, let's look. How we know this? We know this because of their own writings. Qab al-Abar, an early Muslim transmitter of hadith, says this, I find the Mahdi recorded in the book of the prophets. For instance, the book of Revelation says, I saw and behold a white horse. He that sat on him went forth conquering and to conquer. So the Muslim scholars are looking at the white horse guy, the guy that's riding the white horse, the four horsemen of Revelation 6. He identifies the Mahdi as the white horseman, as the one who's riding the white horse. There's your key. There's your link. You see, even in their own confession, they look at the white horse guy as the Mahdi, just like we look at the person who is riding the white horse as the Antichrist. So their Mahdi is the biblical Antichrist by their own confession. By their own confession. The linkage is there. So how do you approach this? Well, let's look. They say, now don't confuse the Mahdi with Isa. Now, Hadrat, when you see the word Hadrat, is like honorable or to be honored. So Isa is the Islamic version of Jesus. And it goes on and talks about how only the Isa is able to kill the Dajjal. Oh, you have to understand this. Don't go down the rabbit hole. But understand this. Here's what he's saying here. The Mahdi and Isa will work together during that 7 years. Isa is the only one who will have the power to kill the Dajjal. Now, who is the Dajjal? He is the guy who they think is the real Antichrist, but he isn't. Because the Dajjal
believe that Jesus is the Son of God, died and rose from the dead, he is the Christian. He is Jesus. So they will look at Jesus as being the devil. See how Satan, when he gets involved, he flips it? So he will get his whole crew of Islamic people, and when Jesus comes back with us riding on horses, they will think we're the evil ones, and they will fight against it. Because, you know, when people are fighting for a holy, righteous cause, they think they're right. So they have to be tricked, deceived in the ideology to believe that good is evil and evil is good. So deeply, they have to see it. Do you see what I'm saying? So they will be so deceived that under that spell of strong delusion, that the followers of the beast will think what they're doing is right. Because they thought it was right for him to kill the two witnesses. But think about it. What he did was for humanitarian purposes. He killed those two witnesses because they were wreaking havoc on the earth. So he will be heralded all over the world. He was like unto the beast. Then they marveled at him. Look at the power he had. You see, it's amazing. So we're going to see more and more about him from their own writings. He'll be a descendant of Muhammad. He will return just before the end of the world. He'll eradicate all tyranny and oppression according to what they think tyranny and oppression is. Bringing in harmony and total peace. Yeah, if everybody's Islamic, then there's the peace of Islam. You see, peace, peace. When they are all crying peace, peace. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 1 and following says, then sudden destruction. He will lead a prayer in Mecca with Jesus, that is the Islamic version of Jesus, at his side following him. He will rule over the world for how long? 7 years. Over and over again, this is repeated in Islamic writings. So it won't be a surprise when he comes to power, when he makes a covenant for 7 years. They will have expected it. You see, the Western world doesn't know this, because we don't understand Arabic. We don't understand that whole, all the Islamic writings. But if you're embedded and saturated with all this Islamic teachings, they have coloring books. They have all kinds of stuff about the coming of the Mahdi and the coming of Isa. They have all this stuff with their kids, that Islam is going to rule the world, the caliphate, the global caliphate is going to rule the world. Islam will dominate the world. You see it all over the world. It's happening now. They're calling for this not based out of nothing. It's based on their own writings. Their writings are filled with this. So now the false prophet who is introduced, he parallels the Islamic Isa. He parallels perfectly. Think about it. You have the Mahdi, and you have the Isa. In the Bible, we have the Antichrist and the false prophet. He's going to look like a lamb. He's going to look like Jesus. But when he speaks, it's going to be coming right from Babylon. The speak satanic. You're going to see this over and over again. The Islamic Isa will work hand in hand with the Islamic Mahdi. Step by step, amazingly. So we also know he's a false prophet because this one who works with the Antichrist later on, in chapter 16 and 19, he's called the false prophet. So we know it's the beast, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. They work hand in hand. Well, what other religion in the world has something like that? Oh, Islam. Have the Mahdi and the Islamic Isa. This is what Jesus said. Then if someone tells you, this is Matthew 24, 23 through 27. Jesus predicted this. Then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, the Christ. Or there, do not believe it. Now he is talking in this passage when the tribulation is going on. It is past verse 15, 24. 24, 15 is talking about the tribulation. From that point forward, it's talking about the tribulation. 24, 15. So he's 23, verses 27. He says, look, here is the Christ. Or there, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to what? Deceive. Just like the false prophet will do. Now, that doesn't mean it's just one false prophet. You have the false prophet, and he has his guides. Remember, the image of the beast. They're going out, just like the Gestapo, like the image of Hitler, going out. You see?
So you have this living thing, but then you have some figurehead that you worship. We've seen this before in history. But what is it? If possible, to deceive even the elect. Now, during the tribulation, who are the elect? Christians who have come to know faith through the 144,000 and Israel. And who is he speaking to? He's speaking to Israelis. He's speaking specifically to Israelis here. And that's why. The focus now, in the second half, is not on getting more and more people saved, because now, at this point, the focus is on Israel and protecting Israel and bringing Israel to salvation. Because 144,000 went out into all the nations of the world in the first half and really reaped a huge, huge reaping of salvation, which no man can number, from the nation. Now the focus is, because no one else outside of Israel is going to repent, it's all now the Antichrist pouring it on, getting his kingdom going, right? So the focus now is on the elect, the chosen people of Israel, the chosen people of God. They are the elect. They're not just some of the elect. They are the elect. Biblically, they are God's chosen people. See, I have told you beforehand. He's telling you, when this happens, well, that means they have to be in their land when the Antichrist, because this is after the abomination of desolation. The abomination of desolation is set up. That is the mark of the beast. That is the image of the beast. It will be set up in the Temple Mount. It will be set up. And so, flee. Look, therefore, if they say to you, look, he, that is Christ, is in the where? The desert. That's where the Mahdi will appear first. And the Isa of Islam will appear in the desert. Do not go out. Look, he is in the inner rooms. Do not believe it. For as a lightning comes from the east and from flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. So, this is the propaganda starting now from Islam. They're going to tell you that their Jesus, the Quranic Jesus, the Islamic Jesus, is the real Jesus. Because there is a kind of like a Jesus in the Quran, Isa, I-S-A. And so they will have this. They have billboards all over now. Find Jesus in the Quran. Muslims follow Jesus more than Christians do. Amazing, huh? This is in Tehran, Iran, which is a big, huge mural right there. And you can barely see this stuff, but you can see people with flags kind of going up. Well, this is a close-up shot. The Mahdi is in the front. The Mahdi is in the front. Notice how Jesus is following them, along with Muhammad and the imams, mullahs, are following him too. Do you see how that is? Jesus is following the Mahdi, and he, along with these other Muslims, and then you just have the normal folks. I mean, the mural extends farther. All these people are now following the Mahdi. Jesus is following the Mahdi. Do you see how this works? They're trying to get people prepared, so that when it happens, when that false prophet arises from the earth, when he arises up and starts saying that, oh, you need to follow this law, you need to follow the Mahdi, which we would call the Antichrist, people will be prepared. This isn't just something that happens overnight. There will have been a campaign for a while to get people going this way. If you strip people of religion like the West has done with atheism, evolutionism, then they don't believe in anything. And then someone comes with the power of the sword and says, you can't buy or sell unless you follow us. Whew, I'm going to follow you because I want to be able to eat. I want to be able to survive. But those who are Christians, real Christians who are blood bought by the blood of the Lamb, who were transformed and born again in that period of time, will not follow the Mahdi. They will see who you truly is. They will refuse. That's why it says in this passage, but those who refuse will be killed. And we know how they're killed, by the sword to the neck. So the false prophet will look like a lamb. He will look like a lamb. But he spoke like a dragon. So he's going to look like Jesus. And he's going to say, yes, what this one teaches is correct. And he's going to have a unifying message to bring both sides together. He'll have this unifying message to bring Shiites, Alawites, Sufis, and Sunnis, and other factions of Islam together. He'll have a way of speaking. He will be very slick. He speaks like the dragon. Speaks like the snake. But he will be the false Messiah. Now, he is not the Antichrist. The Antichrist is the Mahdi. Does that make sense? Because he's the one you're supposed to worship and follow. But he is a false Jesus. And remember I said instead of Christ. And this is what they say. Those who disbelieve in the oneness of Allah, for them will be the fire of hell. Neither will it have a complete killing effect on them so that they die, nor shall its torment be lightened for them. Thus do we requite every disbeliever. Requite has to do with kill. Smite their necks. Kill. Destroy. So this is already in there, and that's what he will use. He will be brutal. So what about this image of the beast? The image of the beast is the abomination of desolation that is set up. Daniel 7 through 12 talks about this abomination through desolation. And also, Matthew 24, Jesus says, when you see the abomination set up, then you better start fleeing to the hills. When you see that happen, that means Israel has to be back in their land. He's talking to Israelis at the time. And that's who he's talking about. In 2 Thessalonians 2, it talks about the man of lawlessness who will set himself up as God to be worshipped as God in the temple of God. That again gives a hint that the temple will be rebuilt. And he will use the temple to control people. Because he wants as many people to go to hell with him as possible. He knows he's going to. He knows it. He's going to be defeated. So might as well get as many as you can to come with you. Misery loves company. Misery loves company. Sorry. And comfort is another word. So you have this plan of how to do it. So Satan is going to use something that he's been working with for ages. He's going to use something that exists that relates to an image. Now, a symbolic image here comes to life, right? But we've seen that with Hitler. We've seen that with Stalin. We've seen that with all these other dictator leaders. The image isn't just some image, it's both and. It gives life to the image, that is, those who worship the image will then give life because they'll go out and enforce it. It's come to life. That's some robot that looks like the Antichrist. We already have something like this. They already have these assassins and warriors that are the protectors of the Black Stone. They exist for years. They make movies about these people. You know, they, what do they use the most? The sword. So the image of the beast kind of exists, but it'll be like on steroids. He will enforce Islam, that is, the false prophet will enforce Islam by this way of doing things. Do you remember those banners you saw in the old movies of the Nazis in that big stadium? And they had those banners, and they had the Nazi kind of circle thing, and it had the Nazi swastika there. That was the image that they used to coalesce as a standard to look to, that in fact bowed down to it. And it was kind of religious. Although this was very atheistic, it was also demonic. It was both and. And they used that to be able to control the masses. Everywhere you saw that swastika was like if somebody was watching you. Because you got out of line. The Gestapo and the other forces that Hitler had, the secret forces, would come out and kill you. So there was a force kind of thing. But we'll find out in chapter 14, it's a choice. Because it's those who choose to have the mark of the beast. Those who put on the mark of the beast. Those who put it on will go into everlasting flame, lake of fire, torment, and torment never ends. So it's still a choice. Even though they might have a gun to the head, because the choice could be, I will die, rather than to bow. You still have a choice, the Bible says so. So, Antichrist does not just mean against Christ.
It means instead of Christ. And that's what the image of the beast is. What the beast system is. That's what the religious system of the false prophet is. It's instead of Christ.
And we're going to see how that fits. The image of the beast currently is the black stone. It is a stone that fell from heaven. And they say that it came to Adam and Eve, and they were to build some altar. Now, this is in their Islamic tradition. This is not biblical. But here's the key. The black stone absorbs sin because it originally was white, whiter than white could be. But it came black because it absorbs men's sins. It is instead of Christ, because only Christ can absorb or forgive or cancel out sin. Only God through Christ can do that forever. So this stone is an object of worship. Now in Islam they say, oh, we don't bow down to anything. Oh, sure. I'm going to show you some pictures. But Satan fell from heaven. All of these things that point to the Antichrist, even Lucifer, O star of the morning, how you have been cut down to the ground. You know, fallen from heaven. See that? Fallen from heaven. There's a reason why those hints are there. Because that which they worship fell from heaven. That physical object is likened unto the dragon who they really worship. Allah is the dragon. Allah is Satan. You can look at this later if you'd like to. I want to kind of go through it real quick. But it's basically they would go and kiss this object. Now I want you to see how it is encased. Oh, I'm going to go into this. Because it goes into it. Islam goes into this. You kiss it or touch it or point to it somehow and you see Allah Akbar or whatever and expiates your sins that is that year. Or that time you go on the Hajj. At least you have to go on the Hajj, that is a pilgrimage to Mecca. And you have to come close to this. And think how many people have kissed that. Think how many people have caressed it. And I'm telling you, that's what they do. This is a very highly sexual object. So, the image is also called the right hand of God, or Allah. And you know that in the Old Testament, the right hand of God is prophetic of Jesus, who sits at the right hand of God, instead of Christ. It also sits on the corner, the east corner, of the building of the Kaaba, that square thing. It is called the cornerstone. Do you see how it is a replacement of Christ? It is an object of worship. It is an image that fell from heaven. Like Diana. Like the image of Diana or Artemis in Ephesus in Acts chapter 19. It's the same thing. It is female in orientation. Like the harlot who sits upon the beast. It's religious. It's related to the harlot. Related to Babylon, it is related to very bad adultery. She is called a harlot. She is called an adulteress. Do you not see what's going on here? Which religion has a black sacred stone which many make pilgrimages to and kiss? Here's some more how they revere it. When the Turks came down and destroyed it and stole, they stole the black stone and went up north and they came back. And then they brought it back. Because they thought that people were defiling it. I mean, it's crazy, the history. But there you have like Muhammad wrapping up the stone in his cloth. Okay? Do you see how they're touching it and caressing it? I'm sorry to say, this is female body parts. If you can't see it. So let's go back. Allah is the moon god. And you can see that is Allah, the moon god. Alat is Allah's wife. Where does she go back to? Aphrodite. Alat is the wife. I want you to understand the Kaaba, that big square building in the middle of the Mecca thing, is a female. And she has to lift up her skirt to be kissed. I'm telling you. This is bad. This is horrible. Now, Aphrodite can also be named Ashtoreth in the Bible. wife of Baal. So she's the wife of Allah here. Allah is Baal. And Baal goes back to Bel, back to Babel, which is house of Bel, or city of Bel, which is Babel, Babylon. This, the roots are Babylon. Remember, two cities, Jerusalem and Babylon. And you're going to see the counterfeit religion, the counterfeit system, goes back to this. So the Kaaba, right there, in the corner, on the east corner, where the corner comes together, you have to lift up the skirt of this decked out woman, because she is considered as a woman covered like a burqa or a hijab. I'm telling you, in their tradition. And she is decked with gold and like earrings, almost all the decking that you can think of that is like jewels and things on the inside. And she's covered like this, just like a woman would be. She is the harlot, the mother. Mecca means mother. So, I mean, you can't get any... You can't write this. I mean, you can't just make this stuff up. And it's real. And the Bible has predicted this. And look how they're all around her. This is horrible stuff. Now, understand this. The Mahdi will come and destroy Mecca. He will take the black rock in their own writings and take it to Jerusalem, from which it will be worshipped. In their own writings. Islamic eschatology declares the Mahdi will destroy Mecca and Medina and move the Kaaba stone to Jerusalem. It fits perfectly with the abomination of desolation. So, who's in charge of this? The false prophet. He's in charge of the worship. The false prophet represents the woman and the beast. He represents the spirit of Babylon. The Antichrist represents the spirit of the Antichrist. Those two spiritual entity kind of demonic forces have been around since the Tower of Babel. Very organized, but they will have their coalescence, their highest pinnacle under Satan during the tribulation, the second half. When that abomination of desolation is set up and the whole earth is commanded to start worshiping and bowing down to it, they're doing exactly what they were doing in Mecca, but now it's going to be in Jerusalem. This is part of their own end times prophecies. Now, it fits perfectly with what the Bible says, because where is Satan drawing this from? Satan is drawing this from the Bible. And Satan is going to do this. It's not like God didn't know this was going to happen. This is not a surprise to him. Now, let's look at the mark of the beast. The mark of the beast, where you can't buy or sell, is the Bismillah, or Allah in Arabic, or the Mahdi in Arabic. And its symbolic Greek letters fit perfectly with the name of Allah in the Bismillah. It is not necessarily a tattoo. In fact, it probably will not be a tattoo. It will be something you wear. Just like the Nazis wore those badges. And just like the Jews had to wear the Star of David to just differentiate themselves. This is a normal, traditional thing from the Middle East and Europe. They wear a badge on their head, a bandana, or an armband. And that tells you who owns you and which team you're on. And it's not going to be any different. Now, not buying or selling is exactly what Sharia law is. Sharia law is an encompassing political, social, economic, and religious. All in one. There is no separation of mosque and state. So what we see here is an exact declaration of Sharia law. Again, which religion on the world is political, economic, religious, but also wants to have a one world government called the Caliphate, and wants everybody to speak at least the one language, which is Arabic. That is, when you do your prayers, even if you don't understand them, you repeat them in Arabic. You can only read the Quran in Arabic. It is one word, one language, one world government. It is the only one that wants this. I mean, to me, it's amazing. And then you look at the mark of the beast, and there it is. It's been there the whole time. The mark, the number, and the name is all there in the Greek lettering. The Greek lettering matches perfectly with the Arabic lettering. It's been there all this time. That is what the Greek letter looks like. Look at this. What the Greek letters look like look exactly like the badges that they would wear on their heads. This is a badge that wear on the head, which is the two swords, and then you have the name of Allah that is the Bismillah. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. When I look at this, I'm amazed. Now, it would be hidden until the end times, like Daniel. The book of Daniel. This will be hidden or sealed up until the end. That means we're in the end. We're almost at the door when you can start seeing this readily. And more Bible teachers who used to hold to a different eschatological viewpoint are now coming this way. Because it's overwhelming. I mean, how else can you say, oh, yeah, Islam is not rising? Yes, it is. It's as if it is coming back from the dead, coming out of the ashes. Here's some examples. All of this are examples. Now, I want to show you why they are called beasts and monsters. Beast monsters. Because of that. If you don't worship the beast, what are they doing now, the Christians? They are monsters. Hell cannot be hot enough for this. But we need to pray until the time is that is done. Do you see? This is just the beginning of what they're going to be doing. Cutting off heads, dismembering little Christian children while they're alive, cutting off heads. Brutal. So, Jesus said, I told you this beforehand. Now, Ephesians 5:11 says, we are to expose evil, expose the darkness, and rebuke the darkness. Ephesians 5:11. There is a reason, because it's a battle. It's not Disneyland or Disney World Christianity when you become saved. You have entered the battle. You are a part of a war that has been going on since Adam and Eve fell into sin. And it's only going to escalate. It is not going to have periods of, you know, like heaven on earth. It's not going to be heaven on earth until Jesus comes back. It's only going to get worse. It's like one old preacher said, cheer up, saints, it's only going to get worse. Now, it looks like technologically we're getting better. It seems like we have less killings and all that kind of stuff. Well, have you ever heard of the calm before the storm? That's exactly what's going on. If we're having any periods of peace, it's a calm before the next storm. It's the calm before that. So why does he say, I told you this beforehand? Well, so that we'd be warned and warn others. Judgment is coming. We have to step up and warn people about this. We have to step up and let people know that this kind of thing is happening. We have to know that God is in control. Now, why do I say that? Warn people. Because God has showed us what the enemy is going to do. It should not be a surprise to us. The enemy is brutal. He hates us. The enemy is jealous of us and would like all of us dead or all of us kill each other. He is happy when he can get his demons to cause different factions of people to kill each other and wipe each other out. It's like, and he laughs, you see. But he'll have a day when he has a short time, Revelation 12. He knows he has a little bit of time. So chapter 13 shows you how organized he can get. Organized he can get. To shore up the small amount of time, 3.5 years he has left, to wreak havoc on earth. So we need to warn people that the preparation is already here. Secondly, we need to be encouraged because end times prophecy or any kind of prophecy shores up our faith, shows us the Bible is accurate and true, And again, what we saw today going through this, and what we've been seeing, is over and over and over again, God is faithful to his word and showing us. He has exposed what we're seeing now. Israel has to be back in her land. What we see, Israel is back in her land. That the nations around her want to destroy her and wipe her off the planet. Well, we see that happening now. That's why Islam is rising. Satan hates the apple of his eye, the elect, the chosen people of God. Because that's his name. Remember, his name is stamped into Israel. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I am the God of Israel, the Holy One of Israel. He said, my name is Yahweh, Yahweh God, or Yahweh, Yahweh God. However you want to pronounce that, but I am that I am. I am the God of your fathers, not in Israel. That is my memorial name forever. So he has stamped and tied himself to Israel. So then who is Satan going to want to destroy? Israel. And by secondarily, the Christians. Because we bear the name of the Messiah of Israel. So God is faithful. He will be good to those of us who are his. But some of us may die. Some of us may go through trials and tribulations. But in the end, we will experience good. The best Satan and his followers will ever have is here on earth. This is their heaven on earth. That's why they're called those who dwell on the earth. Because this is the best they will ever have until they go to the lake of fire. So God says through Jesus, I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. Israel will have an awakening when they see that image of the beast in Jerusalem, in their temple, or on the Temple Mount. They will know, oh, everything those crazy Christians were saying, everything that New Testament stuff was saying is true. And Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus, that Jesus of Nazareth, he is our Messiah. And they will come to an awakening, Zechariah 12. They'll look upon him whom they have pierced and mourn for him as an only son. They will come to Jesus as a nation. And then all hell will break loose against them. And God will still protect them. And so today, what we have is this. When you see these things begin to take place, look up. For your redemption is very near. Nearer than it ever was before. Luke 21:28. Look up. When you see these things begin to take place. Are we not seeing those things begin to take place now? Oh. And then with what happened in Turkey just the last 2 days. We are so close, folks. It should encourage us, but also encourage us to get out the word of God. So we worship the one who is the one who controls time. We worship the one who is and always was and always will be. We can rest in him because the cornerstone that's in Mecca will be destroyed. That's the best mankind can do. Oh, we have the best that is of mankind through God, Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. So let's worship him. Thank you.